Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 5 this morning. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read a few verses, and the verses actually covers two different stories, but they relate to one another. Mark chapter 5, and I want to deal with one in particular, but I want to deal with one phrase, if you don't care. Oh, by the way, I meant to say this. I appreciated the men this morning. You know, I look back and about every man and young boy here, just about it, was up here.
Yeah, that's good.
That was good, and I appreciate that. I remember there was a time when you couldn't get teenagers up here, you couldn't get men, and I look back and everybody'd come up. And that speaks well. That speaks well of you. Amen. The Bible always says, somebody says, well, I can't sing very good. Well, the Bible says make a joyful noise. Unto the Lord all ye lands. So that includes you too. Mark chapter 5 verse 21. Very familiar scripture. But I want to point out something if you would. In verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her. Now, I want you to remember that little phrase, lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she'd had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about the press and saith, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and saying thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be ye whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead, which why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth a turmoil and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, I talithakum kamimai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. This morning I want to deal with the fact of Jairus and his daughter. Even though this is Mother's Day, she also had a mother waiting there, and Jairus had went. And the parents was really concerned about their daughter. Now another gospel tells us that this was their only daughter. She was 12 years old. And she was at the point of death, and she was sick. And so the husband went, The mother stayed with the daughter. I thank God for parents and good parents. I thank God for godly parents. I thank God for parents that wanted to bring their children to Jesus or bring Jesus to their children. And this morning I want to look at a couple things that he did and look at him and look at some issues here. But let me say this. Every one of us are going to have times in our life when we have great tragedy. Some people think that, well, I'm serving God, and so forth, serving God, all will be well, and God will just make everything happen. I'll be carefree, and I won't hurt. I won't be in pain. I won't have to suffer any of these things, and none of these things will come to me. This morning, I've got two songs, and I'm not going to sing, so you can relieve yourself just a moment of any anxiety that might have brought to you, especially my wife. But I want to bear with you these two songs and the history of these two songs. One of them, the first one I'm going to share with you, I've shared with you before here, and you're very familiar with. It's one of my favorite, all-time favorite songs. It is called "It Is Well With Your Soul." I want to share with you, and most of you know the history of this song. The guy who wrote it was H.G. Spafford. His name was Horatio, I believe, or Horatio or something, Gates Spafford. He was a Chicago attorney or lawyer. He wrote this song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And in 1971, there was a great fire in the city of Chicago. You can read about it. Many songs was wrote about it. There was over 300 people died in that fire. Over 100,000 people was left without a place to live. This guy by the name of Spafford, he loved the city of Chicago. He had, as a matter of fact, he had bought and purchased a lot of real estate in there and had some wealth, but everything that he had burned up with a fire, just about it. He lost about everything he had within that fire. But after the fire, for 2 years, he had worked, and all the people that was left homeless, all the people that was left their lives messed up because of that. He worked very tirelessly giving money and helping support the homeless and trying to rebuild and help people that was in less fortunate positions. Now, you got to remember, before the fire, he had lost his only son about a year before that, and his son had died. He had four daughters that was remaining. And so after 2 years of laboring, trying to help those and rebuild Chicago back, he decided to take a vacation. Him and his wife and his four daughters was going to go over to England. And when they went over there, they were going to go and they was wanting to hear D.L. Moody preach. He was in an evangelistic campaign. And Sankey, the one that would lead the singing. And they were going to go over and enjoy the evangelistic campaigns that they were putting on over there in England. Then after they got through with the revival meetings that was going on, they were going to go on over into Europe and visit some of Europe. Now that was their plans, and they'd labored hard. He was tired. He'd spent a lot of money he had, and about everything he had he'd invested back in Chicago. Well, something happened at the last minute, and a business issue, and he had to remain in Chicago, and he sent his wife and daughters. They went over on this ship called the Vilda Harva, I believe is how you pronounce it. And right off of Newfoundland, they collided with another English ship called Lough Erne. Out of the hundreds that was on these ships, within 20 minutes, they sunk when they collided. 47 survived. His wife, Spafford's wife, held on to a piece of wreckage of wood and held on into the ocean, and her four daughters drowned that day. Her and 46 others was rescued, and hundreds died because of that. And so she sent him a telegram, and it said, "Saved alone." And so he boarded a ship and dropped a business deal and boarded a ship to head over to where she was at. He asked the captain to stop or let him know when he got to the place where his four daughters was drowned. And he did. And he wrote this song, and I know most of you know it, but I'm going to share with you the words of this song. I'm going to read the verses, and I'm going to read the chorus. I want to do this because I want to bring something out here in a moment. He wrote this after losing, he done lost his son. He lost basically all of his possessions. He's going over there to be in a revival meeting. He lost everybody but his wife, his four daughters. He wrote this, he said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste a day when my face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. You know, every time I read and sing that song, it's one of my favorite songs. And sometimes we sing it here, and I love it. But my mind goes back to this guy. And stopping there over where his daughters drowned and thinking that he wrote this. And something else interesting about this song, and I've shared this with you. He asked a good friend of his to write the music to this song. His name was P.P. Bliss, Philip Bliss. And Philip Bliss had just surrendered not long ago into the ministry. And after he wrote this song for this guy right here, it wasn't long after that that him and his wife was going to go to an evangelistic campaign with Moody as well. And he was traveling by train, him and his wife. They were going across a bridge of a 75-foot high ravine. The bridge collapsed and the train went down into the ravine. The train caught on fire, and B.B. Bliss got out of the train. But when he got out of the train wreckage, he looked, and his wife was still in the train wreckage. And he went back in, he pulled and tugged, and she was trapped within it, and it was burning all around her. So what he did was, he took hold of her hand, and he turned, he sat down in a seat beside of her, and he sat there, and he burnt to death with her. When I think of this song, I think of the tragedy. But I think of the commitment of these men and their families. I want you to understand that not everything's going to happen the way you want it to happen. There's going to be tragedy that's going to come into your life. But when tragedy comes into your life, where are you going to turn? Who are you going to go to? Friday night we had graduation here, and I was preaching and challenging some of the students that they could do nothing without Christ, and therefore if they tried to benefit and do anything here of any lasting effect, it would accomplish nothing without being attached to the vine. You need to understand that this man, Jairus, his daughter was about to die, and it was his only daughter. He was heartbroken. And so what did he do? He had heard about Jesus some way or somehow, and he went to see Jesus. Jesus was his only hope. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things in your life Jesus will be your only hope.
Amen.
You better learn where to go when times get rough. You better know who to go to. And so he went to Jesus. Now, I want you to note this about him in verse 22. He was a ruler of the synagogue. That means that he had money. He had wealth. He had prestige. But can I tell you something? I don't care how wealthy you are. You got a little daughter or son. and their life is on the verge, money means nothing. Position means nothing. He had religion in the synagogue, but it meant nothing. And so what he realized was everything he had was of no use to him. The only hope he had was to go find Jesus. And so he went, and he went to find Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus had got off the ship. He was just passing through there. Isn't it amazing? Now I'm going to tell you something. Now listen to me very carefully. You'll find that when you go through the dark times of your life, if you'll look to find Jesus, you'll find that he's passing by. God has a way. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he can be found. The Bible says that when someone is humbled, contrite, broken, God can be found in those times. And therefore, Jairus was broken. Even though he had all these things and all this wealth and all these things that he had accomplished, it meant nothing and it could do him no good because there was something going on that was beyond and above anything he had ability to do. The Bible says that he went, he found Jesus. If you look back, the Bible says that he fell at his feet. In other words, he humbled himself. He got down to place. The Bible says if you want grace, God gives grace to the humble. Somebody said, well, I'm just going to do it my own way. My friend, God will never help you until you humble yourself.
Amen.
God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. You say, well, I'm going through something and I need some help from God, then you got to get down to where God can use you. And what happened was he come and he fell at the feet of Jesus. Now, he'd heard about Jesus and he'd heard something about the hands of Jesus. He heard that Jesus was able to touch and lay hands and people was miraculously being healed. Now, you got to remember, Jesus' hands were marvelous. Think about the hands of Jesus. They were the hands of Jesus that made this world. We sing that song as a little child. He's got the whole world in his hands. That's because of how great Jesus is. You know whose hands reached down into the dust of the earth and formed Adam? Jesus. The Bible says everything was made by him. You know who reached down and caused Adam to go into a deep sleep and took the rib of Adam and made a woman? The hands of Jesus. And all through the Bible, you'll find his hands in the Old Testament, how he performed certain things and certain things done by the hand of God. And then what you'll find in the New Testament, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, his only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth, he walked through and his hands, he would bless little children. He'd lay them on a blind and they'd see. He'd lay them on crippled and they'd walk. He would do whatever. And in this situation, the Bible says that his hands was, he went and he was able later on in this story to lay his hands upon a dead girl. And she'd be brought back to life. Those hands. But not only did he take those hands and perform those miracles, he spread those hands out upon the cross of Calvary. And through those hands, he received the spikes and the nails. And he died for us. And he died for us that he might be able to reach out to us with those hands. Just as Peter was sinking in the water that day, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And those hands of Jesus reached down and saved him. How many of us can go back to a time when we were sinking and we cried out, God, save me. And the hand of Jesus reached down and saved our soul. My friend, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, those marvelous hands that was there in creation that's gone all the way down through history, the Bible says it's still, he still takes his hand and knocks at your heart's door. And he says, behold, if you will open up, I will come in. I will sup with you and you with me. But he leaves it to you to open the door. Jairus here had come and he's heartbroken. He come and he got down and he bowed himself before the Lord. And what he was doing is he was recognizing, God, it's beyond my measure, but Lord, you can do it. If you just come and lay your hands upon him. You know, in the Old Testament, in Joshua and a couple other places, Joshua, Ruth, and other places, you'll find that what they would do is they would make a covenant, and one of them would take a shoe off and hand a shoe. When they would make that covenant, what they would do is this. The idea behind that shoe was this. I can't do this. You're greater than me. And they would hand a shoe to the one that they was making a covenant with because he was able to perform it. But it was too great of a task for them. And what he was doing when bowing was the same thing. He was recognizing that Jesus had the ability to do something that he could not do for himself. And listen, if you want any help from the Lord, you have to let him be God. You have to understand that there are things in your life you can't do for yourself. And if those things are going to get done, he's got to do it. Because things are impossible with men, it's possible with God. And so here we find that Jairus come. And so as he come, he showed the right attitude. He showed the right posture. He showed the right desire to come and have Jesus to come and just lay his hands upon his daughter. And so Jesus started to go with him. And as he started through there, we get interrupted with another story. How that he, as he walked through there, all of a sudden, someone touched him. Now, Jesus knows who touched him, but he stopped and he said, who touched me? And they said, what do you mean? Walking in this crowd, everybody's touching you. And the Bible said he looked for her because he knew who it was, a her. And what happened was she had an issue of blood, and we've taught on that, and she was somewhere where she wasn't allowed to be. She was unclean. She wasn't supposed to be there. It was against the law for her. They could have stoned her for what she was doing. And so whenever she touched him and she felt healed, she snuck out of the way because she didn't want to admit in front of everybody that she was unclean, and she went and touched Jesus. But then because of her faith, he said, that daughter, because of thy faith, thou should be made whole. But the one point I want to make is this. Now remember Jairus. Here, this was a great trial of his faith. Because here he was, and Jesus had agreed to go to his house, and he was headed to his house. Then all of a sudden, his daughter is dying, and he's got to get there. And all of a sudden, here Jesus is just stopping. None of the Gospels ever record a word that Jairus said. I don't know. Of course, you got to remember. He was a man of great prominence. He was someone, now pay attention to me, he was someone that knew what was going on. He was used to telling people things and them doing it. He was used to saying things and people following his orders. But notice the Bible doesn't record one thing. This was a great challenge and test of his faith. Now listen to me a minute. Don't tune me off. You will find out there are times in your life that God challenges your faith. Someone said this, and I like the way they said it because somebody made a song about it not long ago, about he came the fourth day to Lazarus' tomb, and it was not a day late. What was the name of that song? 4 days too late. But you know, God is not early. He's seldom early, but he's never late. He has a purpose for what he does. And so sometimes he puts you through things and he lets things go. And so, but he has a reason for that. But Jairus here, it was exercising his faith because here he was, and I'm sure if he was like any normal person, his love was and his mind was upon his daughter, and here this woman was. But I want you to notice two things. One is Jesus cared for his daughter. And I also want you to know he cared for this woman. And can I let you on the third thing? He cares for you. The Bible says that we can cast all our cares upon him because he careth for our soul. Sometimes we think Jesus, the creator of the universe, and somehow God in his magnificent omnipresence and omnipotence, knowing everything and being everywhere and being at all places, he's able to care for everybody here. That is amazing. He knows everybody's concerns and he knows everybody's issues. As a matter of fact, the Bible says Jesus revealed such a truth of this to us that he said, even your thoughts, he knows afar off. But he goes on, he says, every hair of your head he has numbered of every single person in this world. That's how intimately he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows where you're at, what you're doing. He knows whether you're lost or saved. He knows all those things. He knows the trials you're going through. He knows the heartaches. As a matter of fact, he even knows the heartaches you're fixing to face. And so here again, this man, he doesn't say anything. And so then he finally, after Jesus, this woman, and she's healed, and then he continues on. But just as he starts to continue on with Jairus, while he's talking to this woman, people come from his house. And they say, don't bother the master. Thy daughter is dead. Now imagine what Jairus must have felt. Sometimes when things are not working out just the way we want it, we think God has let us down. But notice what Jesus told him. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. But notice what Jesus told him. He said in verse 36, and as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, what? He said, now I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to believe. I want you to forget what you just heard. I want you to forget what you're fixing to see. I want you to forget what you're thinking. All I want you to do is believe. Now take me to your daughter. So when he went there, he got there and there was this great crowd of people. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he got there. There's this great crowd of people. They were crying and weeping, and of course, if you know the tradition of the Jews at that time, they would hire people, professionals, to come in. But man, when they'd have somebody die, they'd all be screaming and weeping and carrying on there at the house, and that's the atmosphere when Jesus arrived. And Jesus told them, she only sleeps. Now let me touch something here because this is important. The Bible promises that we will have eternal life. Now listen to me, this will help you. He promises us eternal life, that we will never die. After someone saved, after Jesus resurrected, everybody who passes on from this life is never stated as dying if they're saved, always falling asleep. We no longer, I will never die. I will go to sleep. The part that sleeps is my body. My soul is present with the Lord. You can read Revelation chapter 6 and find out that your soul is conscious. The point I want to make to you is this, and this is a glorious thing. God, the Lord only uses that for saved people. Now pay attention. And one other group of people, children. The reason why is if children dies before they reach the age of accountability, they only sleep because they go to be with the Lord. David, when his baby died, he said, I can't go get him. I can't bring him back, but I can go be with him. He knew where he was at. He was in heaven. And isn't it a glorious thing to know that you say, well, preacher, if Jesus come right now, what would happen, or what would happen if my child passed away? And I know some of you had children pass. Isn't it a glorious thought to know that they're in heaven? Isn't it good to know that God promised? And so he told me, he said, listen, the girl just sleeps. The damsel sleeps. Of course, you know what they did? They laughed him to scorn. They got laughing, mocking him. You know what he did? Everyone, you all laughing, get out of here. He said, what's fixing to happen? I only want those who's got some faith. You see, without faith, you can't get nothing from God. You're full of doubts and you say, well, preacher, I sure hope God. Listen, you've got to just trust God. Jesus told him, he said, they come told him, says, your daughter's dead. He said, would you only believe? Don't be afraid. Believe. So he went and he told everybody, he said, I want you out here. And they all got out. And the Bible says that Jesus took that hand. He got a hold of the little girl's hand. He said, arise. She arose and she began to walk. And he told him to get something to eat because those were signs that she had life. And by the way, can I say this? If you've ever been saved and the hand of the Lord ever reached down and got a hold of you and gave you life, people see it by the way you walk and what you eat. They can tell. That's signs of life. That if you're hungry for the Word of God and you begin to walk different, you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. And so what you need to do is, you say, well, preacher, I don't think it made a difference in my life. Well, chances are you don't have any life. Because if you do, there will be signs of life that God will give you. But then what he did was she rose and they went out. The Bible says they were astonished with great astonishment. In other words, they just couldn't believe what they were seeing. But it's because of ability that God had. But Jairus' faith is what earned him the privilege of that. I want to share with you one more song, and I'm going to close with this song. And I'm not going to sing it. But this one was written by a Methodist preacher. His name was Luther Bridgers. And Luther Bridgers was a Methodist preacher he was born in 1884. In 1910, he came here in Kentucky. He was going to have a series of meetings at a convention. He was preaching and he left his family behind at his wife's dad's house, at his father-in-law's house. And so he left his wife and they also had three daughters, I believe. Let's see, I wrote three sons, I'm sorry. Three sons with his wife. And so he was 2 weeks preaching that meeting. And so at the end of 2 weeks, there'd been a lot of people saved, a lot of decisions. And so he got a call and he thought it was his wife. And he ran and, man, he was so excited to tell her about what a good service and what a good meeting they'd had. And when he got on the phone, he found out that it was a neighbor. And they had told him that his wife and her father and all their sons had been burned up in a house fire, that his father-in-law's house caught on fire. And so every one of them perished in that fire. He sat down and he wrote this song. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all life's ebb and flow. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting beneath his sheltering wing. Always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I will wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. The chorus goes this, and most of you have heard it. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my ever longing, keeps me singing as I go. Right after he lost his wife and his three sons. Isn't it wonderful how that the Lord can intervene in a tragedy? and keeps you and gives you your singing back. Some of these, I've sung that song hundreds of times. But now every time that I sing that, I'll think of Brother Luther Bridgers. I'll think of his wife and his three boys and his father-in-law. And to know that through that tragedy, you can still keep singing. But my friend, let me ask you this. How many of you know where to go to when something's going on in your life? Maybe you're here this morning, you're not even saved. But this morning, those hands that created the world, you feel him knocking at your door. You feel the Spirit of God bidding you to come, recognizing that you need to step out and be saved this morning. Would you come? You'll find that Jesus has his arms open wide.
Yes, amen.
He said, those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out, because he wants you to come unto him.
Right.
But you must be willing to step out and come this morning. Would you do that? Maybe you're going through a trial and trouble that I know nothing about, but maybe God has laid something upon your heart that you just need to come and get along with him. Maybe you've gotten discouraged and you just need to come and bring it to Jesus this morning. How about it as we stand? Give a song of invitation, Brother Porter.